We continue now with the security situation in South Asia and begin here in this segment with a theme that was teed up early in the presidential campaign.
It's time for us to withdraw some of our combat troops out of Iraq, deploy them here in Afghanistan, and I think we have to seize that opportunity. Now's the time for us to do it.
Well, the Obama transition team working over this holiday weekend is undoubtedly focused on this transition from Iraq to Afghanistan, and whether it actually in reality is as easy to accomplish as the rhetoric made it seem all during the campaign. That transition is the focus of an essay by Noah Feldman in this weekend's New York Times Magazine. He's a contributing writer for the magazine as well as a law professor at Harvard University. Noah, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You say that to compare Iraq and Afghanistan is both useful and perilous. Explain.
The upside is that the strategy that we've followed in Iraq recently of upping the number of troops and trying to convince Iraqis to give up on the radicals is one that has worked better than anything else. It hasn't been a success yet, but it's worked better than anything else. And it's natural to think that maybe we should try that in Afghanistan, which is what the generals and President-elect Obama are saying.
And that's the so-called surge, where we increased troops but also worked much more closely with the tribal and religious constituents on the ground in the country.
Exactly. It depends on the idea that you can convince the local people, and especially the tribes, that they have more to gain by joining in with the government and the United States than they do by being insurgents. Now, the danger of applying this in Afghanistan is simply that circumstances are very different and the tribes are very different in Afghanistan than they are in Iraq. They're all called tribes, but in fact, they're of different sizes and different types. And the tribes in Iraq, for the most part, were primed to work with the government because that's what those tribes have always done. And by contrast, the tribes in Afghanistan have typically looked outside of their government and outside of their country to foreign assistance and played off their interests against each other. So there's a risk that if you go to the tribes and rely on them in Afghanistan the way we have in Iraq, it'll lead to more chaos in the country and not less.
So it's fair to say that in Iraq, it's more bipolar or tripolar, whereas in Afghanistan, you throw al-Qaeda in there, you throw the NATO forces in there, and you've got a multi-level of variables that's much more difficult to manage.
I think that's exactly right, because the Afghan tribes simply have played a bigger role in the history of their country than the Iraqi tribes have in theirs. The Iraqi tribes basically had two choices, as you say. They either sided with foreign forces like al-Qaeda or they sided with the government. And they switched from siding with al-Qaeda to siding with the government, and that was a huge plus for the government and therefore in the U.S. In Afghanistan, it's not so simple. The Taliban, for example, are not foreign fighters. They are Pashtuns, mostly, from inside of Afghanistan. And so walking away from them is nowhere near as easy for tribal leaders as it was for tribal leaders in Iraq. That means that these tribes will have a whole range of interests and the danger of civil war, which is, of course, how we got the Taliban in the first place in Afghanistan, that nobody else was powerful enough to take over, is a very live one.
Now, that's an argument, forgive me, for describing Afghanistan as something of a black hole that would require almost unbounded troop efforts and military vigilance on the part of the United States to even begin to control, in a sense, what was always said would come true in Iraq might actually come true in Afghanistan, if what you're saying is the case.
I think that's a real risk. Historically, what Afghanistan has had that worked the best, not that worked perfectly, but the best, was a central government that didn't try to govern the local provinces in a direct way, but relied on intermediaries. And that's what the government's optimal solution is here in Iraq, to find intermediaries who are not the Taliban, or if they are the Taliban, are a much more moderated Taliban that recognize rights for women and don't harbor terrorism. And then the central government will have to essentially accept that that's the best it's going to do.
Well, then, at the risk of being a real policy wonk here, let's focus on the first scenario. Is there a sustainable kind of power-sharing agreement among these tribes and among these various regions that can actually maintain itself, that won't devolve into some kind of Taliban today, another Pashtun group tomorrow, maybe it's the Northern Alliance next month?
It's possible, but it's not easy to achieve. It depends on giving all the different groups a substantial stake in governance in their own regions, which they dominate, while making sure that none of them think that they can take over the country the way the Taliban once did or the way that the Northern Alliance did with our help. I think they all will recognize in the foreseeable future that they'll recognize that we're serious enough about staying to stop them from taking over the country. Then they'll say, well, we should settle for something less. They'll settle for something like, as you say, Pashtun control in the southeastern part of the country, Tajik or Northern Alliance control in the northern part of the country. And it could be called warlordism. I mean, someone will be able to say you've just put into place the warlords, but at least it has the chance of being a somewhat stable arrangement that could last in the long term.
Well, let's take a massively contrary view then. It's possible that what you're saying is also an argument to simply walk away from Afghanistan. I mean, it's not likely that 9/11 is going to be repeated. And if it is repeated, it wouldn't be from Afghanistan. It would be from somewhere else. What's to say that we couldn't just wash our hands of the Afghan situation, especially if it's as complicated as you suggest?
That's a reasonable argument. But I think it's too soon to say that we need to walk away like that for two reasons. One, at this point, walking away from Afghanistan is literally a victory for the Taliban, which means a victory for al-Qaeda. If we walked away, I think it's very likely, and I think most experts would agree, that the Taliban will take control of the country again and do it in relatively short dispatch. They then have every incentive to invite back al-Qaeda.
On the other side, the risk is pretty high. Basically, Barack Obama has to show progress in 3 years, or else his policy comes completely unraveled. Is it possible?
I think that's right. He just got to show substantial improvement before it's time for him to run for re-election. So he should take the risk now of trying to move in the direction of finding a balanced strategy that could work for everybody in the country. Because if he doesn't, if we just get more of the same old, then he'll be under a lot of pressure to withdraw completely 3 years from now.
A suggestion from Noah Feldman, who has an essay in this Sunday's New York Times Magazine. He's a contributing writer for the magazine, as well as a law professor at Harvard University and an adjunct senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. Professor Feldman, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we should note, yesterday, the Iraqi parliament did pass the status of forces agreement. And so there is the transition from Iraq to Afghanistan is well underway.